I've invited my very good friend, Pastor Keith Jenkins, to share the word with us. Pastor Keith and I've known him for some time. I started to get to know him when he had planted a church in Eugene, Oregon. How many of you know where Eugene, Oregon is, okay? If you have any problem with that, just watch the national championship of the football, college football, in a couple of weeks on Monday the 12th, and Eugene, Oregon is going to be represented. In fact, Pastor Keith, who was pastoring, planted a church in Eugene for 13 years, pastored it, and the church grew to about 1,000 people, was also the chaplain for the Ducks Athletics. And so he has a deep connection with Eugene, where my wife grew up, and yeah. Right, right, exactly. Yeah, there you go. But now he's pastoring in USC territory. Just a few miles from USC at West Adams Four Square Church. It used to be called, now it's called New Life Church. And he and his wife Coco went to go pastor that church when it had gone through some challenges. It was about 40 people, and now they're running a few hundred. But more than running a few hundred, those few hundred people are impacting the city of Los Angeles in a really amazing way. Keith is a deep friend of mine, and when we started to get to know each other really closely was when he was working at the district part-time, as he was also pastoring the church, and I was the supervisor. And every time I would sit down with Keith, there would be a commonality, there would be a brotherhood, there would be a soul-to-soul connection, because we believe so much of the same stuff about, not just about Jesus, who is our source and our life, but about the church and how the church can make a difference in the world. I didn't tell Keith what to bring to speak this morning. I just said, Keith, I trust you implicitly, and whatever you bring, whatever the Lord tells you is going to be right on. And my mouth was hung open the whole time he was preaching, because he brought a word from the Lord that lines up exactly with what the Holy Spirit's been telling our church over the last year. I can't think of a better message that helps us bridge from 2014 into 2015. And if we had seatbelts on our chairs, I would say buckle up and get ready to hear the word of the Lord through Pastor Keith Jenkins. Let's welcome Keith as he comes and joins us.
Wow. That was incredible. I got to bring you around more often. Pastor Tim, Hot Tim. Come on, somebody. And he's got a gym membership, which I think you forgot. You're bringing sexy back in 2015, man. Come on. Hey, note to self, get my church, just call my church and tell them I want to be sexy too in 2015. So whatever it takes, we can work out together, amen? How many glad to be in God's house this morning? Come on, give Jesus another big hand clap. He is so awesome and so worthy. It is a privilege and an honor to be with you. Tim and Deborah are just, we really love them. And what he didn't say during the time how many of you know, you find out what who your friends really are when you go through a tough time. And our middle daughter she suffers with lupus. And as I was working on a district staff, we went through just a really difficult season with her going back and forth in the hospital and long stays. And Tim was a big, big, big encouragement. How many of you know, sometimes you don't need to say anything, you just need to be? And sometimes the ministry of presence is what somebody needs. You don't always have to have the right words to say. He was always there, never saying too much, and never not being present with me through that time. And so he really solidified himself in my life forever. So anything he ever needs from me, you only have to call. I'll come racing over the hill to come help. Amen. So just so y'all know, he's got a black brother over in the city that'll come over. And if we need to handle something, no, let me stop. No. No, not at all. Not at all. I'm more Tiger Woods than brother, trust me. Just know. But I brought somebody real special with me, and her name is Coco. She is my wife for the last 26 years. I affectionately call her Hot Chocolate. Come on, somebody. It's my wife right there. Come on, wave. So I just love her. She's more my girlfriend than anything else. My stomach still tingles when she comes in the room, and so I love her to death. Amen. Look, how many of you have kids that tend to get into stuff? Anybody? I mean, our kids are grown now. You know, I look a little youthful. We were a military family, and so we started early with our kids, and so they are adults now. But I'm having these moments where I flash back and think about them when they were small. How many know what I'm talking about? So I got pictures on the wall at different ages with braces and buck teeth and all that kind of stuff. But I remember a season in our life where whenever we would come home, you just, how many as parents know, you just sort of have a sixth sense about your kids. You come through the door and there's not really anything out of place, really, but you just know down on the inside of you, something not right around here. Right? How many of you just walked into your house and you walked through the door and the kids were and they were quiet, so you knew something was wrong, right? And so you just had this sense of something's not right around here, right? That just knowing or that the kids, you probably said this, the kids are up to something, yeah? Look, in not the negative way, but in the best possible way, about a week ago, I woke up with this sense about me, this expectation, this sense that God was up to something. That not in a negative way. And listen, that didn't mean that every challenge and circumstance in my life went away. It just meant that in spite of what the enemy had plotted, God's plan was still sure in my life, and that God was in fact up to something on my behalf. Come on, somebody. How many of you know? How many of you can sit here this morning and say, well, you know, the doctor said, and this person, and the business is not going over, and the economy, and the house won't sell, and whatever it is, but in spite of all of that, you can sit here and say, but I know God is up to something. I don't know, listen, I don't know how, I don't necessarily even know what, but I'm waiting for the wind of God. Come on, somebody. Waiting, knowing that in 2015, God is up to something good on your behalf. And if you slid in here today, like Pastor Tim said, if you came in here today, I don't even know why I'm in church today. I'm just, somebody brought me. I don't usually come to church. You in the right place. Because this is good news for you to know that God is up to something on your behalf. Touch your neighbor and say, God is up to it right now. Tell them. So listen, I don't have a sermon as much as I'm going to clue you in to my devotion time with the Lord and what he said sort of prophetically to me. And so I try never to preach sermons. I try to hear the word of the Lord, and if it's fresh bread for my soul, then normally it's fresh bread and it'll minister to the people that I serve as well. And so I wrote down some thoughts about a scripture that the Lord gave me, and I'm going to minister that if that's okay, amen? Yes. And so because it is hot up here, I'm going to take my jacket off. It is a little warm, and I brought some heat with me. Come on now. So in Luke chapter 5, if you've got your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 5. And it's a familiar portion of Scripture, and I believe that Luke, Matthew, and Mark sort of relate the same story in the Gospels. But I chose Luke's version or Luke's perspective on it because he adds something at the end of these verses that the other two writers didn't. And it'll be familiar. Luke chapter 5. In verse 37 through 39. And so read along with me. It should be on the screen or you have it in front of you. And it says this, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But the new wine must be put in new wineskins. Say new wineskins. But that's like five of you. Come and say new wineskins. And new wineskins, but new wine must be put in new wineskins, and both are preserved. No one having drunk, and this is where Luke adds something on the end, no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. Now, when we talk about wine, biblically speaking, we're talking about joy, blessing, the bounty of the Lord, peace, prosperity, that type of thing. In this particular text, Jesus was bringing about a revolutionary way of doing ministry and life in Israel that they had never seen before. And how many know that one of the things that happens to us is that we get used to how God operates? In fact, some people say, well, I know God. Come on, somebody. How many know you don't know God? You know something about God. It is impossible for you to know God. In fact, the only reason that you know what you know about God is because he revealed it to you. You couldn't find it. He uncovered. That's what revelation means. He uncovers some facet of himself, and therefore you do see. But it's only because he uncovered it. Amen? So you would never have a sense of pride that I found God. Amen? I always laugh when people are at the altars and they, you know, somebody will say without knowing, they say, well, I found God. I'm like, God wasn't lost. We're the ones that were lost. God's not lost. And you just discovered God because he, by his grace, uncovered himself, yeah? And so Jesus was doing revolutionary things, like in John chapter 4, speaking to a woman by the well and healing people on the wrong day, as if there's a wrong day to heal somebody. And he was doing all of these countercultural things and things that were against the religious norms. In fact, what God was doing is he was pouring new wine into the earth, pouring new wine into humanity, revealing himself, Emmanuel, God with us. We had never had God with us before. We had types and we had shadows and we had prophets and we had all of these things and manifestations, but now God was with us. That's a new thing. Come on, somebody. You know it's true because when you started following the Lord, people started looking at you and saying, there must be a God somewhere, because your life started being changed and transformed, and all of a sudden there was peace in you and joy that nobody had ever seen. You know why? New wine was being poured into your life. A new move of God had come to you. Come on, somebody. How many of you recognize that in this moment, right now, we sit on the verge? 2015, this Sunday is the first Sunday, we sit on the verge and the precipice of a new season. A new season is coming. New opportunities are here. This is a chance for fresh vision. This is a chance for God to do something completely different than he's ever done before. You say, well, I look the same. Well, then things aren't the same. Come on. How many remember when you first got saved? Anybody here that's been saved for a long time? How many remember the joy? You could just say the name of Jesus and tears would just, oh, Jesus, oh my God. I remember being saved. My brother-in-law, after church one Wednesday night, we went out to pump gas on our cars. We were just so excited. And at the gas pump, he said something about the name of Jesus. Before I know, my hands was up. We're just crying and praising God at the gas pump. After a while, you've been at church a little while, you got a couple highlighters, somebody's CDs. Live stream some stuff. All of a sudden, somebody says, Jesus. You're like, oh, yeah, I know JC. Yeah, I know him. Yeah, that's my homie. And we lose, yeah? What was once new, and we were appreciative of, sometimes we lose the sense of awe about, amen? This is a new season. So today, if no other day, and just gratuitously smile at me, say amen a bunch, and make me feel good, amen? If you don't believe it, fake it until you make it. But this morning, let there be some faith and some expectancy awakened inside of you. You may have come through a really, really difficult last year. I'm here to tell you that God wants to pour something new out in your life. You might have had relational difficulties, health difficulties, finance, you name it. In a room this size and online, there's people with all types of circumstances. And I will not diminish any of that struggle and any of that suffering. All I want to do is point you to the win of God. When this gets done, the win of God will pour out a blessing in your life that the enemy, it will confound the enemy, that you praise God all the way through it until the new wine came. Amen? So I believe that in 2015 for our church, and more importantly, this was for me individually, God was saying, this is a new season, and the only thing that can challenge you, and he took me to Isaiah 43 and verse 18, and said this, Keith, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Say new thing. I don't know about you, but I like new things. And say it like I would say new things. Not just new things. I like new things, too. No, new things. You know, like when I played basketball, and we'll talk more about that later, but I always wanted to have a new pair of tennis shoes to play. New pair. How many know when you run track or whatever it is, it's nice to have a new pair? I mean, somehow psychologically, you think you jump higher, run faster, but you can't. And I always like to have a new pair of Jordans on when I'm playing or whatever, because I always thought I could anyway. How many think you can fly and you know you can't? Come on, somebody. But new is always better, yeah? And God is saying, look, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. A new thing. Should you not know it? And one translation says, can you not perceive it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So God could be doing a new thing. I'm praying for, how many are praying for some new things to happen this year? How many of you really want something new to happen? Say amen, come on. Okay, something new. I'm tired of this old stuff. I want something new, whatever it is, right? Okay, so God could actually be answering that prayer, doing something new, and you not perceive it. Jesus was coming, the Messiah, the King of the Jews was there. He's here, But because he was a gift, strangely wrapped. How many know nobody would have looked for Jesus in a manger? Come on, somebody. When you're under Roman occupation and you've got Caesar and you've got people on chariots, the last thing you're looking for is a baby wrapped in a manger. You're looking for a deliverer. How many of you remember the movie Gladiator? How many of you remember when Commodus comes riding into Rome and they paid people to come out, but nevertheless, it was a spectacle. Now, if Jesus had to come like that, that would have been a king I could follow. Come on. Especially if you were being taxed heavily and oppressed, held down, abused, killed, you would want somebody that would come, and that's not how God comes. And here's the funny thing. God always comes into our life. Isn't it strange that he never comes in the form and in the method that we would like him to come? I don't know about you, but my grandmother used to always say, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. I'm like, well, if he's the God of the universe, can we get him to tell time? Because I need him to come faster sometime. How many ever prayed and said, God, if you need help with the time, I can help you? Needed a check. How many ever needed a check, needed a financial blessing? And you were like, I know God is faithful, but when is he coming? And I'm trying to hold on. And how many hear what I'm saying? And it's not so much, because if God was only interested in products, he could just give you what he wanted. But in the process of waiting on him, you learn something that you otherwise cannot learn. I said something to you about my daughter Keisha, who has lupus. There's something about lupus that we don't like, but something is happening because of it. God in his sovereignty, his wisdom that I cannot fathom, is using it to shape her character in a way that we couldn't otherwise do. She's becoming a better woman. I remember years ago, a man in Oregon was outdoors, you know, like Oregonians tend to be. He was an outdoors guy climbing rocks, and he fell from a free climb and broke his back, paralyzed from the waist down. Tried to commit suicide and finally wrestled enough to it to where he made peace with and understood that he was going to still live in spite of, right? Say in spite of. So this is what he says. His testimony was, I can see God from this chair much more clearly than I could ever see standing on my feet. That's what I mean when I say God will come in things and in forms and in people and in times, and this new wine will come, and you may miss him. He could be sitting there right in front of you. I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little older, and sometimes things can be hidden right in front of me, like my glasses. Baby, where are my glasses? I need my glasses. Where are these? It's funny. Oh. Y'all could be right in the midst of your circumstance. Right in the midst of your season, new wine is flowing. The flow of God is there, and you're missing it because you're not discerning it. How about we pray, God, help us to discern? But then one of the things that makes us miss it, how we sometimes miss the move of God or the flow of God or the new wine of God, is because we are too stuck in remembering former things, things that happened before. How the greatest challenge to a new move of God is the old move of God. Because whenever God starts doing something new in another generation, one generation always looks back, but I remember when. And you can't do it that way and this way. And I remember in our church, every Sunday, the choir walked in. We had a choir like 150 members. They walked in. It took 35 minutes to get the whole choir in the choir. And then they had to, you know, get their sway on. It took a while to get some people on beat. How many know? And so it's like, okay, man, that's 35 minutes of church. Come on. You know, we're in a different generation. You can't even wait for Starbucks coffee. You got to get it into a drive-thru. Man, I need my coffee. Let's go. They didn't get out of church till 4 o'clock back then. You're like, oh, those were the good old days. Yeah, but you missed football all afternoon. Those were the good days. God did move. There were some things that I remember. But I can tell you right now, I don't want to be in church till 4 o'clock this afternoon. And you'll be here by yourself. I'll tell you that right now. Because I love God, but I love some lunch too. No, let me stop. Don't remember the former things. What is he saying? He's not saying don't appreciate, don't carry those forward. I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for my grandmother and my grandfather and how they prayed and how they kept us in church 7 days a week. Thank you, Grandma. But you know what's funny? Here I landed on the stage as a preacher because of those days. So there is an appreciation for those. Amen? Let's give the Lord a hand clap for what he has done. Come on. Come on, a real one. Amen. But then at the same time, we've got to break free from some things and mostly break free from the fear of change. How many know the worst part about change is change? Because I don't know things. When things change, it's not so secure. It's not predictable. I don't know what's going to happen next. And if all of a sudden, next Sunday, I can tell you right now, I wish we didn't have a program this morning, and I wish I didn't have to preach. Because in worship, I met God this morning. Whatever happened during the worship, when he said, let's pause, we could still be in that moment if it was left up to me. But you know it is, what would happen? And what about the announcements? And what about the offering? And I deal with the same tension. But there are times where I told our church, I'm like, if we don't seek God, if God doesn't show up and transform lives, trust me, my puny brain will not get it done. My puny intellect and the systems. And so Tim can tell you that we've gone through this in the body of Christ where people have systems that have been adopted from business practices, and we're marketing better, and we're doing all these things, and we've got better accoutrements in the church, and we've got better sound and better everything. And then after a while, you start looking around and you're saying, but is God even there? Is anybody even being transformed? I know, okay, you're here, I'm here, us four, we're all here, but is transformation underway? Are you moving along a discipleship pathway and the Spirit of God is sanctifying and cleansing you and moving you along the pathway so that the image of Christ is more fully being built up in you this year than last year? I don't mind the lights, don't mind the smoke, don't mind all of the accoutrements. Just give me Jesus in it. Yeah. Come on, give me a hand clap. Give me Jesus in it. So if we do something new, then I won't be in control. I won't have my hands on everything. I won't know. The ushers will be bothered if you all of a sudden said, hey, everybody, move over here. The usher's like, wait, you can't move over there. And the cameraman loses his mind because he can't get everything in focus. And it's okay if it's Jesus and a new thing happens. How many know church, if Jesus shows up, church gets real messy. I don't know about you, but I read my Bible. Come on, somebody. Jesus showed up in somebody's house. Don't invite Jesus to your house if you don't want him to wreck it. Don't invite Jesus to your house if you don't want him to wreck it. Jesus sat down and started teaching in somebody's house, got crowded, and then all of a sudden somebody couldn't get in, and they tore the roof off. Don't invite Jesus to your house. All you OCD people that got to have everything lined up, don't invite Jesus because he'll mess all of that. Mary and Martha, come on, learn the lesson. I want Jesus to mess some things up. If new wine comes, and I'm more excitable, I got it. There's some of you that are very contemplative and meditative, and we got all these different personalities. We got golden retrievers and different things. I got it. None of that matters. A move of God doesn't concern itself with your personality type. When the Spirit of God begins to move, the only thing you can do at that point is throw your hands up. It's kind of like, in Oregon, where we live, there's a river called the Willamette River that goes through the city. And I got to tell you, sometimes when I first moved there, there weren't that many black folks up there. You understand what I'm saying? And I used to see the white folks floating down the river all the time on these tubes. And my church was 75-80% Caucasian and the rest everything else. So they love this black boy up there. Come on, somebody. They saw Jesus in me. That's why. But they took me out and we floated the river. I'm telling y'all, if you've never been out of the city and got out and floated the river, you'd have missed life. Because we floated that river. First of all, I couldn't feel my feet anymore because the water was ice cold in the middle of the summer. But we floated that river. You know what? I was out of control. It was a great thing. I didn't have any sense of it. You know what? What it is symbolic of when the Bible talks about the river of God? There's a part in that river where it'll go slow and it's nice and placid. But there's some times where the Holy Ghost starts moving and it's like a ruckus. Come on, somebody. You want God to just land in here and mess up some stuff. And listen, as he's wrecking you, there's a transformation that takes place. I look in this room right now and I see some of you that are more mature. You remember a day. Come on, I know you got your tie on now and you got, you know, your business holdings and different things, but you remember a day when you were laid out in the floor and the Holy Spirit fell on you and tears streaming down your face. This generation needs that type of move of God.
We need an unexplainable move of God where the wine and the Spirit of God is flowing in the midst of His people and lives are being changed and thousands are swept back up into the kingdom of God. You cannot be content this year just doing time in church. Here's my seat. This is where I sit. You come to church and say, oh my God, somebody doesn't know that's my seat. Yeah, Pastor Tim, Tim, Deborah, I know you're doing new things around here, but I've been around here and that's my seat and I need them to move. That's my seat and my family, new wine. That means people are coming and don't know they're supposed to say pastor. Look, I sat in my church. I'm a Marine by nature, so I like things straight and ordered. I was in the Marine Corps for 10 years. I'm messed up. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm messed up in ways you can't even know. I'm messed up. But one of the things, I like things to be neat and in order. And when you have a move of God and God starts doing stuff, He saves people and does things with them that let's just say, baffle the mind. Hello? Well, I was bent down. Like, your ushers have suits and ties on it. I thought, man, that's so neat. I love that. I was sitting on the front row recently, and a young man bent down to get the usher bucket because we keep him under the front row. And I noticed he had a Yankees hat turned around backwards. And his pants weren't sagging, but, you know, I'm a Marine. I want your pants up. What's wrong with them? Right? And he was receiving the offering. And he was full of joy. He had a sense. Look, he stood there with his back straight, too. And I started messing with him, and he said, Pastor, stop. This is serious stuff. It's serious, and you got your Yankee hat on. Different generation. Different time. Some of you are like, they got to take their hats off in church. I'm glad they're in church. New wine. New wine. It looks different. Oh, come on. Some of you are like, no, I can't get with it. I know. Help. I'll find something for you later. Amen. Coco, start the car. Let's go. We got to break free from the fear of change. Say change. Be surprised how many people want to grow, but they don't want to change anything. They want to grow. They want something different. Hey, I want a different life. I want this. But everything stays the same. Same everything. I get up at 7. I do this. I go to bed at 8. I get back up at 5, and it's the same. And God is saying, okay, love your routine. Let me get involved with it. So take your hands off this year and put your hands up more. So listen, I know you got your hands on stuff. You're a single mom. You got to have your hands. Listen, girl, you got to have your hands on stuff. But then at a certain point, just say, you know what? Carrie Underwood said, Jesus, take the wheel. Venture out in faith. Take some risk. When's the last time you took a faith journey with the Lord? Where everything wasn't so predictable, where you could figure it all out and just trusted God. I told God, I said, listen, if our staff, if my pastoral team, if we're not praying and saying, God, we want to discern where you are. What are you doing? We don't want to do the known and keep circling the same mountains. There's an adventure. There's a land that flows. Say flows. Not trickles, but flows with milk and honey. There's blessings that abound. There's peace. There's joy. There's prosperity. There's an open place for you. I don't want to be in a confined, narrow box because I'm comfortable and this is where I've been for the last 20 years and nobody else has been. Suppose God wants to take you someplace that none of your friends are going. So you always say, well, you want to go? You want to go? God's like, I didn't call them. I called you. I'm calling you out. I want to favor you. I want to bless you. And some of us always have to be in a crowd. And God is saying, no, I want you. My wife and I have been all over the world. We are the most unlikely couple to still be married at 26. Broken family, family of origin issues, abandonment issues, rejection issues, daddy issues. We were one big issue when we met each other. But Jesus. Oh, you didn't say it. You don't even know. But Jesus. My wife knows, but Jesus took us someplace. We've been all over the world. Some of my relatives have never left Baltimore yet, have never been out of Baltimore. We live in Baltimore, never been. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You got relatives that live in a certain box. And God has called you to break the mold and break the box and go get some fruit for them and show them what is possible, what God is capable of doing with somebody that loves him, somebody that favors his cause. Touch your neighbor, say, new wine is available. Tell them right now. Okay. How many would say, by a show of hands, I want new wine? Come on. You want new wine? Come on, let me see them. Lift your hand up. Okay, put your hand down. That was a preacher's trick. So now I got you. You all want new wine, yes? Say yes. Then you are saying to God, I want to be a new wine skin. So here's the deal. These wineskins had the ability, when they were new, they had the ability to stretch, to be a little elastic. And so if it was an old wineskin, it would have already gone through a process of having wine. And these wines, as they would ferment in these skins, would release gases that would cause the wineskin to have to give a little bit, which when it's new is no problem. So it would give, the wine would be good, no problem. So when Jesus is talking metaphorically about old wineskins bursting, literally they would burst from the rigidity of them not being able to expand any further. And so when I look at our church, especially our church, my church is called West Adams Foursquare. At one time in Foursquare, it was called the Black Angeles Temple, because of all of the leadership things that they were doing, and Marvin and Juanita Smith were doing some wonderful things back in that day, and it was a bastion and a place where African Americans felt like, hey man, this is good, this is great, and this is our place, and they built this great building that we've inherited, and we're thankful for that. But here's the funny thing about that. I told our church a year or two ago, I said, we can't be the Black Angeles Temple. And they were looking at me like, you should have seen some of the black folks. They were just like, we can't? Somebody better tell him. And I thought, because the demographics sort of say that we're 45% Hispanic outside our front door, so if Manuel and Pablo don't show up at church, we're not really being missional if all we have is Shaniqua and Tyrone. I'm just saying, new wine. So that means we need some tamales up in here. I've always been a multicultural person, always been in different settings like that, so I know why God called me, but I'll just tell you, you know, it's like sometimes when you start, God starts doing a new thing. How many know God doesn't need your permission to move in his church? We actually think that God needs to, we need to sign off on what God is doing. Like, yes, God, I do determine that is your will. We're in the process of buying a house right now, and one of the things that you all know from buying a house is you have to have disclosures. And so you got all these disclosures of everything. So let me just tell you, God is not coming to you like some real estate agent with his will saying, here, I'm going to give you a full disclosure on 2015. Would you be willing to sign up? No. You're just going to have to trust God. You have to be flexible. It's not, listen, this is what I told our church. This is what God spoke to me again. It's not old school versus new school. It's not young versus old. In this text, it's not about that. It's about flexibility versus rigidity. Something being much more pliable and flexible versus something or someone that won't be flexible enough to accommodate something new. Now, I got a bunch of young guys in my church. These guys are athletes. Some of them played in college, and they are real athletes. I was just a basketball player that had a lot of heart. How many know what I'm talking about? Which means no skill at all, right? But in my head, I could play really good. So somebody had the bright idea in August that we would have a life group, and that life group would meet and play basketball in a league, and then we would life journal and do some stuff. So I said, good. Let's do this thing, because I look real good right now, but listen. So I got out there, and I said, okay, we played the first game September 11th, and it was in August, and I said, okay, I got a couple weeks. I can get in shape. Listen, I kid you not, without any contact, nobody around me, I'm just out doing shooting drills, getting passes and doing shooting drills, and all of a sudden I pull my hamstring. No contact, no game, nobody around, just somebody passing me the ball. I'm 48 now, so things have changed. I mean, hear what I'm saying? Things are tightening up a little bit. So I, you know, I stretched the next time, so I was like, okay, let me, stretch a little bit. Same thing, 2 weeks of rehab and whatever I did, ice, ibuprofen, that type of thing. I get back out there again, shooting the ball, and somebody hits the rim, and the ball takes a funny bounce off the rim, and it lands over there. So I take off running after it, and immediately felt my Achilles. I'm like, ah, didn't pop, just felt it. How many know what I'm talking about? And one of these brilliant young men came to me, and he said, Pastor, at your age, come here, how many know that's not even right? That's not right. What do you mean, at my age? Boy, if I was a little, at my age. So I didn't go off on him. I wanted to. He said, at your age. I said it to you earlier. It's not about old school versus new school. It's about rigidity versus flexibility. So I had to remind myself. He said, at your age, you probably need to warm up for about an hour. Stretch. Get yourself going. Used to be a time I could just get out the car, walk in the gym, and be ready to go. Not so much. You know, it's funny. I want to speak to those of us that are 50 and above in the room. You'd be surprised as you get older, you get a little rigid, get a little stuck in certain things. And when things are starting to move and look different than they looked in our time, and I got to be honest with you, I like certain music, but I can't understand rap music anymore. I try to listen to it. The words are moving so fast, I can't even get my brain wrapped around it. How many understand what I'm saying? It's like I'm trying to be with the young kids, and I'm just like, I could just listen to 94.7 The Wave forever right now. I could just do smooth jazz for the rest of my life, and I'm good. How many are with me? Say amen. But you know, there are times where it's just like I have to give myself and be just a little more flexible and allow myself to be in environments that aren't familiar to me, that make me a little uncomfortable. But God is moving in a way. I would miss completely the move of God in this next generation. I would miss it because I'd be stuck a certain way and want to do it a certain way. And what I've literally done is say, okay, God, no more hands on. I want to be hands up. And when you catch me with my hands on something and my hands ought to be up, provoke it in my soul. I'll repent of it and put my hands up. And really, that's just like, hey, I wouldn't do that, but I'm going to put my hands up, Lord. Hey, God, the church is getting a little messy. Worship went a little longer, but I'm going to put my hands up, Lord. Hey, people are praying spontaneously, and I didn't say pray right now. Come on, Pastor. I didn't say pray. We pray when I... Okay. Put my hands up. And some of us would benefit from that. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Lastly, and I'm closing, so if we can get the worship team to come back. If you bear with me just for a minute, Tim, I'll turn this over to you. Lastly, we got to make room for God. I mean, we got so much going on in our life. How many would say you have a busy life? Come on, just lift your hand. Let me see you. Got kids, got soccer. I remember, I laugh at people like you with multiple kids and running around to soccer and having to do that. I laugh at y'all because we don't have kids at home anymore. And I just get to chase my girlfriend around while y'all chasing y'all kids around. But I remember those seasons, and I'm sensitive to all that has to be done. And some of you had jobs, and some of you have two jobs, and all this stuff going on. And you're like, man, I don't know that I have room. And I hear this a lot in church circles where people say, I would get involved, and I want to volunteer, and I would do something, but I'm so busy. I'm so busy. And really what happens is what you said to God is, I have no room for you to pour anything into anymore. I've used up every space, every crevice in my life is occupied. You're busy, I know. And not all of it. And if it was sin versus something righteous, it'd be easy. But it's not, because most of you are struggling with good versus best in your life. And some of the things you're doing are good, they are, but they're not the best things for your life. And God is saying in this season, hey, I want to pour in some new wine. But you have a condition like what we see in our culture now. How many of you ever seen that show on A&E called Hoarders, where people have just accumulated, and it's a dysfunction, and it breaks my heart to see it, and they have accumulated all of this stuff, and to the point that they're barricaded in their homes with it. You couldn't bring anything new in there if you wanted to. Appliances, you couldn't bring new appliances that are much more effective in to do the same job. They got stuff from 1920 and this type of thing. And maybe what all of us need at the beginning of this year, maybe during a fasting period or whatever you guys do, maybe you need to have a spiritual yard sale. And just bring out all your relics and all of the stuff from all of the years and just say, God, I want to be empty again, because I recognize that it's the empty vessels that God fills. But if I'll come to the Lord empty this year, and said, Lord, I know something about you. I've learned some things. I've traveled a little bit with you.
But I want to know you afresh. I want a fresh anointing. I want a fresh outpouring of your spirit. I want fresh communication in my marriage. I want fresh, vibrant love between my siblings and I. I want you to move into my home. Lord, when we come to church on Sunday mornings, we want to come into an atmosphere that's charged with expectation and faith. New things, God, pouring. So we're going to make room by moving other things out. And Lord, we want you to move in. How many of you would want Jesus to move in this year? If you're in that place, why don't you stand to your feet with me this morning? Just say, God, I want you to move in and do something new in my life. Just stand right where you are. Just stand up. Say, I want something new. And I know Tim was telling me about prayer time and different things. I feel the Holy Ghost moving right now. Do I have your permission to just move as I see? Okay. So there is this sense that if you're on your feet right now, and if you're not, no peer pressure, that type of thing. I know God will move and do what he needs to do in your life. But if you're on your feet, you're saying to me and to the Lord, you have permission to convict, not condemn, but to convict me in the places that I'm rigid and stuck in some ways. And you're saying that there's a hunger for a new move of God and that you are a receptacle. You're wanting to be a new wineskin, a receptacle of new wine. Is that right? Shake your head. Okay, then let's do this. Let's take our hands off and let's just put our hands up right now. And just out of your soul, just go ahead and begin to talk to the Lord right now. Begin to tell him how you want him to pour in. Go ahead and repent, words of repentance and where you've been inflexible. Lord, forgive us for being inflexible and needing to have things our way. God, we're asking for you more than anything else. New wine. Say new wine with me. Come on, Lord, pour in. Come on, sing that one time. Jesus be the center. Come on, let's sing that with him one time together.
Jesus be the center of it all.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus be the center of it all.
Yes.
Because beginning to the end,
it will always be,
it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Yeah, sing that.
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Okay, put your hands down. If you're here, everybody, please stand to your feet. If you're still sitting down, just stand. If you're here in this building, and at any point in time, and you're here knowing that you can't go about your life like you did in 2014. You know, instinctively you're here and you didn't even know what really to expect this morning. And you got a bald-headed black guy standing up in front of you for the last hour. But somehow God has spoke through me to you and you know that this is your moment, this is your year. And the one thing that you need more than you need new wine, a new car, a spouse, you need Jesus. You need a Savior. You need a Savior. You need to be saved from yourself, saved from your sin, and ultimately saved from the wrath of God. And Jesus prepared a way for us. He is the ark of safety for humanity. We can rush into him, receive grace, receive mercy, receive forgiveness, and a new life. If that's you this morning with no fanfare, you know that's you, that this year, and you've come into this place this morning, say, I need Jesus. My heart's not right. I've been away, and I want to come home this morning. I want to come home. You know you've been gone a long time. The funny part about the story of the prodigal in Luke chapter 15 is that as the prodigal is coming home, and he's reciting this line, and I'm not worthy to be called a son in my father's house, and I'll just be a slave. While he's coming home reciting that, I always loved the portion of scripture that says the father saw him a long way off. So you know what that says to me? That while all of us who have been prodigals, myself included, while we were out doing whatever we were doing, it was always the father looking. sending people. You know, people have been coming into your life saying, hey, you ought to come to church on the way with me. You ought to come to church with me. You ought to come to Bible study with me. You know it. And that's always been the voice of God in the earth, calling you to his love, calling you back home. And if that's you this morning, you want me to remember you in a prayer right now, throw your hands up right now. Say, please, Pastor, pray with me. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. Throw your hands up. That's all we're going to do. Throw your hand up. All the way in the back, I see you. Wave at me. I see you. Back there under the cover, I see you. In the leather jacket, the black leather jacket, I see you, brother. I see you. I see you in the back here. I see you way in the back here on this back row. I see you back here. I see you all the way back there. Wave at me. I see you. More importantly, Jesus sees you. Now throw your other hand up and say, Jesus. Say this with me, church. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin, my wandering, my rebellion. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me. Wash me. Creating me a clean heart from this point forward. I will serve you as you empower me for the rest of my life. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap, church. Come on. Come on. All of heaven is rejoicing. Come on. You ought to shout. You ought to shout. You ought to shout.
Brother, you could go ahead and sit down for just a moment. You could not have known. You couldn't have known. And I know I said this after first service, and boy, this service, God was doing something even new and fresh, and that was good. You couldn't have known that our church over the last year had been going through Isaiah 43 and Luke 5.
Hello.
That the gift that I gave the council for Christmas was new wineskins. No, I actually gave them all new wineskins and said, the church is becoming a new wineskin to be ready for the wine that the Lord wants to pour out. You didn't know that, bro. And when I said, let the Lord speak to you through your own devotions, through your own word, through the prophetic word that he gives your heart, he didn't know the kind of word he was bringing to our church today. And this word is so important for us, Keith. Bro, I'm telling you. Because the Lord's been shaping us, and I'm telling you, this is a church that has had, the old wine was really good here. I mean, like, really good. And people that have been around for 30 and 40 years that are here would say, it's really, really good.
Yeah.
And yet, to a person, people come to me and say, but let's be ready for the new.
Yeah.
Let's be ready for the new. And what he just said today, you may have missed it, but what he said about it's not old versus young. Folks, if it was old versus young, we'd be in trouble because there's a lot of older people and younger people in here. And we're not here to have a war. It's not old versus young. It's flexible versus rigidity.
Yeah.
And I don't care how old we are. Our bodies start slowing down in flexibility. Our souls don't have to become inflexible.
Yes.
And if we're ready to say, Lord, it was good in the past, but you're doing something new, so I got to make room for the new and be ready for what he does, then the word that the Lord has for this church, I've set myself to do a great work here, can still be available for us. And so we're ready for that this year. You just brought a word of the Lord to our church. Keith, the cool thing about this, I have guest speakers come from all over the world, you know that.
Yeah.
And you know, we have people come in. But you're a really good friend and a brother, and you live right over the hill, so I have a feeling this church is going to get to know you a little bit better. You think I should have him back? Yeah.
Well, listen, I want you to pray for me, if you please.
Yeah. Come here, Coco.
We face certain challenges pastoring an urban church as you do, and so we're poised in a different season. I would just ask for your blessing and your prayer. I ask your pastor to pray. If you just lay hands on us and just ask God's blessing and favor, we'd appreciate it.
Can you as a church put your hands out this way? And let's just for a moment lift Keith and Coco up to the Lord together. Let your voice be heard to the Lord. Jesus, we love you and we lift up Coco and Keith. Lord, we thank you for the grace that you give in their lives. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we lay our hands on Keith and Coco, and I do it as a pastor, but representative of every person in this church, bringing full support and grace and life to the Jenkins family. Lord, we ask that you would give them not only the ability, the spiritual anointing that you've already placed on their life. Lord, give them the provision that they need to be able to touch not only their church, but for their church to touch the city of L.A. Lord, as Keith and I have had so many deep talks about what it's going to take to see your Holy Spirit move in a city that's divided and fractured. Lord, you've put him and Coco in the right place to bring healing and restoration and unity to a place of division and disunity. Lord, we ask that you would give them the spiritual insight to reach their community, to reach the city, and that we would partner together as churches to allow your Spirit to be released fully into the life of the city of Los Angeles, that we once again would be a conduit and a ground zero for revival in our world. Lord, that LA would be a place where younger people would find you in droves, and that there would be a new revival that happens in the city of LA. Lord, use our churches, use Keith, use Coco. Let them know how much we love them and we support them. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. Well, if you said yes to Jesus, in a minute we're going to dismiss, and we don't want you to just go away. I mean, you can go away with a great feeling, but you know, when you say yes to the Lord, the enemy is just waiting for you to get in your car. He's waiting for you to get home, and he's just going to start attacking you and lying to you and saying, well, what you just did didn't matter. I'm telling you, what you just did matters for eternity. And if you said yes to the Lord, I'm going to challenge you. Don't walk out those doors to your car. Spend 10 minutes and go walk over to the prayer room. And Pastor Jeff, who's over there, is going to wave at us. He's got a group of people in there that are ready to pray for you and help you get your life started in the Lord. You will never forget this day. And even if you need to ask somebody next to you, hey, can you go with me to the prayer room? I don't want to go alone. You have somebody do that. We didn't get a chance to because of what the Holy Spirit did at the end of our service, which is really good. We're always open to that. But we are going to have our ministry time where we pray for each other and with each other in prayer circles. We didn't have a chance to do that. But just because we didn't have a chance to do that in the program doesn't mean that the people can't do it, right? And so when I dismiss you, if you would like to grab a couple of people around you, we'll let the worship team play for a while, and you can just stay for as long as you need to pray with those around you, maybe to seal in your heart something that the Lord said to you today. Maybe you just grab one other person, maybe a spouse, a husband or a wife or a friend or a son or a daughter, somebody you're sitting with, and say, hey, can I just pray with you? I've got a prayer request. I've got a need. And while sometimes we have elders up front and you can come pray with them, how many of you know that the Lord works through the prayers of his people? You don't need a license or a title to pray for somebody else and see the Lord move. So right now in your seats, whoever's sitting next to you, they could pray for you and pray with you. And let's let the Holy Spirit move in the next few minutes. Even as some people get up and go and are dismissed, you're going to be free to do that. Others of us, we're going to hang out and pray and let the Holy Spirit keep moving. So I would just encourage you to do that. After I say amen, after this prayer, some of you, you need to pray with those around you. Some of you need to head over to the prayer room. Some of you, you're dismissed. I know you have to go to other things that you have planned. But Lord, we come before you, and instead of having our own plans, even today, right now, instead of having our own timetable, we just release that to you. And we would declare that what we need is your Holy Spirit. What we need is the presence of Jesus in our lives. What we need is to be shaped to look more like you. And Lord, what we recognize, the gift that you've given us in the church and those who sit around us who would be willing to pray, it's a gift that people would come and bring the life of Jesus in them and be able to extend it to others as they pray, as we pray for them. Teach us to be a praying church that really believes that when we ask you for things, Lord, that you listen and answer because you love us. So right now, as we go to pray with one another, as some would go to the prayer room, as others would be dismissed, I pray that your Spirit would continue to move far past the time when the last person leaves this room. Continue to move in this church, in these people, in us as a body. Lord, we're going to scatter to the four corners of Los Angeles. I pray that your light and your love and the sense of your new wine will go with us everywhere we go so that we can touch this city that you love and watch revival and grace come to it. Lord, bring the rain. Bring the rain physically that would be a manifestation of the spiritual downpour and the spiritual drought that you're going to end in the name of Jesus. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you go, I want to encourage you, maybe just ask somebody next to you, hey, do you need prayer? And if they say yes, pray with them. God bless you. Let's pray together.